Weil ich den Teufel noch echt heute schwinge.
Good morning to you all. We're in a group of Sederas that has a lot of speech in it and a lot of effects of speech. And we know, Chazal tell us, the stature of man. Vayitza Hashem, Elokim es Odom, Ofer min Adomo, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, Vayhi Odom lenefesh chayo. Everyone knows this pasuk, and everybody knows the Targum. That Targum tells us, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually made? He made a ruach memalalo, a speaking being, which marks us out as very, very different from the other creatures which had been created. And as I mentioned, we have a group of Sedras these weeks, Baloisachor, and we've got the Mice of Miriam, and the Misoinanim, and last week we had Shlach Lecho, and next week we've got Koirach. So rather than give a shiur on any of the Sedras particularly, since there's a lot of talk about the Sedras and Pshotim, I thought I would do one on speech itself, the power of speech. And I will tell you that most of what I'm going to say comes from Rabbi Kesim of the, Rabbi Mendel Kesim of the Chofetz Chaim Heritage. And he has a whole group of shiurim on Lashon Hara, etc., and related issues. And I think it's very appropriate to talk about that, the power of speech. So we are going to learn this morning about how the avoidance of Lashon Hara can actually change your life, change your muzzle. And it's critical information. The Torah tells us, Loi Selech Rochel Ba'amecho. Do not go tail-bearing about other people. So we know there is an Issa involved in this, an Issa Torah involved in tail-bearing, which our Chachamim tell us is not just Rechilus, which the Torah seems to be talking about there, but also Lashon Hara in general. So we've all been involved, I think I can say this before more, we've all been involved in Lashon Hara in one way or the other, either as victims of it or as perpetrators of it. But everyone knows about Lashon Hara. There's so many shiurim given about Shmiras HaLashon. What can I tell you that would add to our knowledge or that would be any different from what you already know? So what I'm going to bring is some, I hope, interesting information in the following way. We know that Lashon Hara carries the most devastating effects, one of the greatest forces known to ourselves, the damage it can create. Lashon Hara can break up marriages, chas v'sholom, business relationships, friendships, etc. All sorts of relationships can be broken up by Lashon Hara in one way or the other. And the approach that I hope to take is not Musa. Musa you've had a plenty, I'm quite sure, about Lashon Hara. This is more Hashkofa. It's the mechanism. What actually happens when we speak Lashon Hara? That is the question. Now I'm going to tell you a story about the Chofetz Chaim. He was once sitting at his table with a crowd of people around him on Purim. And the Chofetz Chaim was there sort of at the head of the table. And a young bocher pushed his way forward and was standing in front of the Chofetz Chaim. And this bocher was slightly the worse for drink. He was a little bit shikker. And he said to the Chofetz Chaim, "Promise me," he said, "that I'll sit next to you in Olam Haba." That's quite, you know, a request. So the other people around wanted to push this bocher away and they managed to get him out of the room. Anyway, eventually the Chofetz Chaim got up and went out of the room. And there was this bocher blocking his way outside in the corridor. And once again, he tackled the Chofetz Chaim and said, "Promise me that I'll sit next to you in Olam Haba." So the Chofetz Chaim's there, the bocher is blocking his way, and he's being asked this question. And the Chofetz Chaim says to him, this is the story. Chofetz Chaim says to him, "Okay, promise me that you will never speak Lashon Hara, you will never listen to Lashon Hara, and you will never believe Lashon Hara, then you can sit next to me in Olam Haba." And the bocher couldn't give him that promise. And the Chofetz Chaim pushed past him and said, the doors of heaven were open for him, and he failed to walk through. But the question about this story is, how can the Chofetz Chaim, great as he was, wonderful as he, give a promise to anybody about Olam Haba? I mean, he's not the man in charge. Okay, up there are others in charge. How can he give that promise to this bocher? And really, we hope that with this particular share, we will have an answer to that question. How could the Chofetz Chaim say what he said, or what he almost said to this bocher, that he could promise him? Now, let's define Lashon Hara. And the definition is, broadly, any communication which directly or indirectly harms a fellow Jew is called Lashon Hara. And it can be done in any way, a sort of a nod, a wink, a shrug of the shoulder, smoke signals, it can be done. Any way of communication can be Lashon Hara of sorts. Just an indication of your disapproval of somebody is some sort of signal that you disapprove of that person. That is Lashon Hara. And the second thing is that Lashon Hara is something which is true. Yeah, I'm not talking about telling lies. Telling lies about somebody else comes under another heading, which is called Moitzi Shemra. That's possibly as bad, if not even worse. The Lashon Hara is something true, which you say about somebody else, which damages them in some way. And so we may not believe Lashon Hara. Why not? Because inevitably, according to the Shmiras HaLashon, inevitably Lashon Hara always contains some lies. It's never absolutely true. And it'll contain usually exaggerations, distortions, omissions. It will not be the complete picture anyway. So in a sense, it is also lying. People won't tell the absolute truth about it. And the Torah commands us not to listen to this sort of talk. And the result of Lashon Hara can be, you know, in lots of ways, it can have its effect. Lashon Hara can cause physical harm of some sorts. You tell somebody something about and somebody else might attack them. Loss of money, of course. Actual damage, person's damaged, business deal goes wrong. And reputation. That's what it damages a person's reputation. And reputation causes a person to be in isolation. People will avoid him. If this goes round about this person, that he behaves in a certain manner, or he is a certain sort of person, others will avoid him, and therefore causes isolation. And we all know the tie-up between that and the Metzorah, why the Metzorah is sent out of the camp, because he spoke Lashon Hara, and therefore the just punishment for him is being isolated, chutz lemachane. So we know that Lashon Hara has this very damaging effect. And we call that, in a sort of nutshell, a person you can be mazik somebody else. Now, in fact, there are many ways of being mazik a person. You can damage a person in many ways. You can damage a person physically. I mean, a person attacks somebody else, he damages him physically. You can get my possessions might damage you. Yeah, shoishin nogah saporo. Somebody nogah saporo, you're damaging somebody else's animal, or eating, you're letting your animal graze in somebody else's fields. You can damage somebody else with your property. I mean, nowadays, maybe we talk about mashalim with cars, etc. You know, bump somebody else's car, you've done damage. Do you write a note on his windscreen? Or is a person dishonest and sort of walks away? And then, of course, the third one is via communication, which is what we're talking about, via communication. And Chazal consider that the third sort of damage, which is the one done by communication, is the most harmful of all the different mazikim that are available. And so the question is, why is the third one, why is the one carried out with Lashon Hara, why is that the most damaging and the worst of all? So let's see what the Gemara says about it. There is a character called Rabbi Alexandri, and he shouted out, me boys chaya, he shouted out in the marketplace, who wants life, who wants life? Well-known Chazal. And we might think, well, if you do 50 press-ups a day, etc., round the block a few times, that the exercise, you know, promotes life. But he's not saying that. Not so important. It's not so important of what goes in one's mouth about the diets, etc. It's not as important as what comes out of one's mouth. That's far more important. Mi Yuisha Chofetz Chaim, he quotes this pasuk. Rabbi Alexander, in the marketplace, tells you, if you want life, you want life. Mi Yuisha Chofetz Chaim, Oyev Shalom Liras Toiv, the Tsoy Lashon Chamei Ros Vasech Badawi Mirbo. The way to promote your life is to guard your tongue, and in that way, this is a promotion of your existence, your life, etc., and all the things that surround life. So it's a promotion of life. Now, why is that? We all know that, Chazal. Why is that? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yochel ani lehatzil eschem mikol tzoro. I can save you, I can protect you from every sort of difficulty in life, every sorrow. Bilvad shaloi tadabe loshon hara. Provided you do not speak loshon hara. So that's a statement in itself, which is a powerful statement, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a promise that he will protect us from every sort of sorrow, provided we do not speak loshon hara. In other words, he can remove all our problems from us if we're nizer of loshon hara. And the Chofetz Chaim says, actually, you know, you can speak. That's okay to speak. As long as you know Hilchas Lashon Hara. Then you can speak. That's fine. Don't keep silent necessarily. No Hilchas Lashon Hara, and you can speak. But why are tzoros removed by not speaking Lashon Hara? What's the connection? What's the tie-up between those two? Now, there is a Yishalmi, let's call it a Chazal, a Yishalmi in Peor, which says the following. I'll put it in a nutshell without reading the words. The greatest mitzvah, as we know, we say every morning, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. The greatest mitzvah that we have is Talmud Torah. Well, we know that, but the Shalmi says that just as Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah, in a positive sense, the greatest chet is Lashon Hara. Now, is it greater or worse than Shabbos, Avodah Zorah? But you know, and we all know, and we all believe that Chazal do not exaggerate. If Chazal tell us something, that Lashon Hara is the greatest chet, and it doesn't say Shabbos or Avodah Zorah, so it's talking about something that we should know. And in fact, the averus that it sort of measures against it are Avodah Zorah, Gila Roish, Shvichas Domim, and the Gemara even says that Lashon Hara is worse, not only worse than Gilaroi, Shrichas Domin, Avodah Zorah, but all those collectively, Lashon Hara is worse. Now, we seem to be going over the top here, if I may use that expression. We're talking about Chazal. We seem to be going in areas which seem very, very unlikely. Let's get some perspective. What is going on? Why are Chazal making these comments? We know that Melech Achav, you know, the famous duo Achav and Jezebel and Yezebel, they ruled the country for 40 years, and they didn't lose any of their wars. They fought wars, skirmishes, obviously to protect their country, and they won all their wars, Chazal tell us, because one thing, although they worshipped Avodah Zorah and they promoted Avodah Zorah, they did not speak Lashon Hara. So that protected them from enemies, and they won their wars. Whereas, in the case of Shaul HaMelech, he waged lots of wars and lost lots of wars. And we know that they were very, may I put it in inverted commas, very frum. Yeah, every single child up and down the country knew all the halachas of Tumah and Tara, which are very complicated as we know. And every child was familiar with them, and Shogah Befiv could say any Mishnah you liked. And yet they lost wars, and Chazal tell us, and the reason is because they were not careful about what came out of their mouths. They were not careful about reporting the conditions of other people. So in other words, in a nutshell, they spoke Lashon Hara, and therefore their protection when they waged their wars was not there, just wasn't there. So we see Lashon Hara, or the avoidance of Lashon Hara, has this tremendous effect, has got an unnatural effect. Moshe Rabbeinu says to this, when he comes out for the second time, Rosh Olomo Sakel Rehu, why do you hit your chaver? He says to this man. And then at the end of that, he says, Ah, Ochein Noida Hadovel. Now I understand something. Rashi explains to us, what did Moshe Rabbeinu understand? So we know that someone or other reported on Moshe Rabbeinu of having killed the Mitzri on the first day. Moshe Rabbeinu then became aware that this report had been made. And then he says, Ochein Noida Hadovel. Now I understand why Klal Yisrael go to Golus. It's because they are not guarding their tongue. Somebody reported on me. And therefore, as we know, Moshe Ben has to escape. But we see that the power of Lashon Hara means that Klal Yisrael has to go to Golus because they're not guarding their tongues as we should be. So, in a nutshell, where we have reached in this talk is that there is something about Lashon Hara, which is out of the ordinary. It's extraordinary. And it almost defies imagination. All the great things that Chazal tell us, Gilaroish, because Domin, this is worse. But what do we know about Lashon Hara so far that we've reached? We know that the avoidance of Lashon Hara, Rabbi Alexandri, promotes life. We know that it can minimize all our tzoros. That's the Chazal we had. And that we have that the Yushalmi in Peor tells us it's the greatest chet, more chomu than the three Averus Chamurois. And then we also know that it does not protect us in terms of in times of battle. If we speak Lashon Hara, we are vulnerable. And it also has a connection with Golus, that if we speak Lashon Hara, then one of the comebacks of Lashon Hara is Golus. So it's got a lot of connotations. I think we can all agree. So let us try and discover the mystery of Lashon Hara, why it is so powerful and so sort of different from all the other Averus, and so fundamental to the muzzle of Klal Yisrael. This is what we need to know. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a concept of din. Well, eventually he actually put the, rolled it out at the time of Matan Torah, but he was created the world with din, as we know, din chesed. And Kilayim Chasdei, we say it a number of 26 times on Shabbos morning, Halel HaGadol, Shabbos and Yom Tov mornings. And we are not punished. There is din. There is din, and that can lead to certain consequences. And the fact is that when we do something, we do an action, and that has consequences. So A leads to B. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do, you to do, us to do, is to cause your own Olam Haba. You create your own Olam Haba by your actions. So therefore, it's a cause and effect. What we do affects the consequences. And we cause both our Olam Haba, the creation of our Olam Haba, and also what we do jeopardizes our Olam Haba if we don't act in the right way. So who does the judging? Who is judging us, you know, as to our actions and the consequences of our actions? Chofetz Chaim quotes the following in Shmiras HaLoshen. He says, quoting the Pasuk in Parshas Bolok, Lo hibit ovoin b'Yaakov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't keep examining us under a microscope all the time about how we're doing, are we doing this right, that right, doesn't do that. Lo hibit ovoin b'Yaakov, he doesn't look at the avoinus of Klal Yisrael. So who is doing the judging? What he does, except for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where we have a direct relationship, where he's judging, but otherwise, most of the time, the Ribbono Shel Olam is delegating the job of judging Klal Yisrael and individuals with the Pamalia Shel Mala. He leaves it to the Pamalia Shel Mala to do the judging. Well, they've got a job to do. And the way the Chofetz Chaim explains it is that the Pamalia Shel Mala is set up very much like we know an English court with a prosecutor and a defender, defending counsel, prosecuting counsel, the whole panoply of the court is there. And so therefore, the Pamali Shamala in operation has to actually act like a court, which means that a prosecutor, prosecuting counsel, has to get up and speak to the court, do you know what this man did? And Paksois, and reads his big black book, and tells the court all the averus that this man did. That's his job. That's his job description. And we know that this malach that is designated for this job actually has three names. He is the Yetzer Hara, he is the Soton, and he is also the Malach HaMoves. So he's got three hats, and at different times he wears one or the other hats. He's the Mekatreig, and that's the same person. Now, the bottom line of all this is, without a Mekatreig, you cannot have a court case. Yeah, the Pamali Shemala is fair. It acts according to its own rules, and you've got to have a Mekatreig and a Sanhedrin, a defender and a prosecutor, and with that the court can proceed. But you've got to have a Mekatreig. What does the Mekatreig do? What is the Mekatreig's job description? Well, His job description is, actually, he's got to speak Loshon Hara about us. Remember, at the beginning we said, Loshon Hara is defined as saying things that is damaging to somebody else, which are true. In other words, he's got to make true statements which are damaging to us. So now that we know how the system works, you know, they say that if you know the system, you can beat the system. Yeah. That's generally true. So can we beat this system? Now we know what the system is. We now know that no kitrug, then there's no mishpat, no judgment. So can we stop the kitrug somehow, and therefore there's no judgment? No judgment, no consequences. Well, can we? Well, the answer is, yes, we can. We can actually interfere with the system. And this will obviously determine our mazel. In Olam Hazeh, this will determine the tzoros we have to suffer. There's no kitrug, there's not going to be a judgment. The Pamali Shel Malah will not judge against us, because it hasn't heard anything bad against us, if we can stop the Mekatrik from speaking. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria, we come back to this, not only with Mishpat, but with a special knetch to Mishpat. And that is with the system of Midah Keneged Midah. What does Midah Keneged Midah mean? We all know basically what it means. That if you do X, we normally think it causes Y. But Midah Keneged Midah works differently. If you do X, then you get a mirror image of X. Yeah, you get a reflection of X. That's Midah Keneged Midah. What we do reflects back on us. Action and reaction, equal and opposite, you've got that in physics. Action and reaction. This is the idea of Midah Keneged Midah. What we do bounces back onto us. So, Gedolim sometimes, great people can sometimes examine a punishment or a person's situation and be able to divine, you know, the cause of it, but most of us do not have access to that particular insight. So, the form of din that we have is Midah Keneged Midah. Knowing that, we can intervene, because the Beis Din Shemala now is under certain restrictions. So if the person that they're judging is in general a merachem, he's a merciful person, then the court is obliged to be merachem on him. When they mete out the punishment, look, he's a merachem, so we've got to be merachem as well. We've got to reflect what he is. Is he's a forgiving sort of person? Then we have permission to do a certain amount of forgiveness for him. So if he is Nizah from Loshon Hara, if he's careful about never speaking Loshon Hara, then how can we give permission to the Mekatre to speak Loshon Hara about him? Midah Keneged Midah dictates, requires, that we can't allow the Mekatre to speak. And therefore we have the whole system now. That if we don't speak Loshon Hara, then the Mekatre cannot speak in the Pamali Shemala, and that means there's no Din Torah, no Din Torah, no punishment. And that's why it affects our muzzle on a day-to-day basis. That's the mechanism. I told you, we wouldn't be talking about Musa, we'll talk about mechanisms today. Yeah, the idea of how it all works. That's the idea of this talk. So, he needs to speak Loshon Hara, and the Soton, the Mekatre, does not get Rishus to speak Loshon Hara if the person is Nizah, if the person is careful. And the Chofetz Chaim brings this many times in Shmiras HaLoshon, this mechanism, this effect, and it's mentioned in Reb Chaim Vital. It's got a very proper and authenticated sort of pedigree, this idea of thinking about it. We don't speak Loshon Hara, we get... And that's the tie-up. We asked before, how does Loshon Hara affect these great things? It's got nothing to do with these things. And now we understand how it all works. It's because there's no kitrug, that's why we are protected. Reb Eli Lapien speaks about, Dubna Magid speaks about it, so they all agree with this mechanism. So every time we condemn somebody else, we are giving permission to the Sotan to be Mekatre, you and us. He can open the book, he can read, and he can speak Loshon Hara. We give him access to speak Loshon Hara about us. And the converse is, of course, that if we don't speak Loshon Hara, Midah Keneged Midah requires that the Sotan cannot speak about us. And so this is the worst sin. How so? How does that work out? It's not the worst sin, of course. It's not. We don't execute a person for talking Loshon Hara, yet we do for Mechal Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, Yirah Roah. It's not the worst sin in terms of crime. but it has the worst effects of any sin. Works a little bit like a poison. How does poison work? You've got this little pill, yeah, a little cyanide pill. Person swallows it, and yeah, he's dead within a few minutes, or in a few seconds possibly. How does it work? A tiny little pill. You know, you've got a big person, little pill. The answer is that it interferes with the mechanisms of the body. All the control systems sort of break down. So the body self-destructs because the control systems aren't working. That's how Lashon Hara works. Lashon Hara is not the greatest sin. Of course not. But it interferes with certain things which have such an effect. And one we've explained today is it affects the Pamali Shalmala. And therefore the mechanism stops. And therefore the court self-destructs itself. It can't function. It just goes home and has breakfast instead. And that's the point, that's how it works. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim and those others are explaining to us. So the only practical advice that I want to add to this is the advice of the Vilna Gaon. And he says it in the following way. He says, you know, you're in a crowd, you're in a bunch of people, and the conversation veers around to a certain subject, and you have this terrific urge to say a piece of Lashon Hara about somebody. It fits in with the conversation, etc., in some way. And you resist the urge. You realize Lashon Hara is Lashon Hara. So you resist the urge. The reward that you get for resisting the urge is immeasurable. You've actually squashed it. You have resisted the urge to tell Lashon Hara. And, you know, the Yetzer Hara to tell Lashon Hara is enormous. You get attention, and people think you know things first. There are all sorts of, you know, temptations to speak Lashon Hara. We all know that. So the Vilna Gaon says, if you resist the urge to speak Lashon Hara, the reward is immeasurable. And then the conversation goes on, and once again, you get this urge to speak this piece of Lashon Hara. It really is a juicy piece, and you want to share it with the others, and again, you resist it. Once again, the reward you get is immeasurable. And then eventually, somehow the conversation goes on again, and you blurt it out. So, that's terrible, you've spoken the Lashon Hara. But, the Vilna Gaon says, you do not lose the rewards that you received or you deserved when you did that resistance twice over. You've still got those rewards. The fact that you were nichshel at the end is a, you know, an awful ending to the story. But lemaisa, so Shmiras Haloshen, yeah, recommendation once a day, and there are all sorts of programs to do that. Don't be afraid of the commitment. It's well worth it. It's an investment, as we can see, which is well worth it. It can affect your whole life, your life, the lives of your family, the lives of the whole world. We don't speak Lashon Hara. We are destined for Geula. And that's, of course, what we want to have, what we want to achieve. Geula Shalema, Geula Karoiva, Bimheira, Bimeinu, Amen. 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 Amen.
Rabbi last night.
It's all right.
Yeah, very good.
In Prestwich.
Oh, nice.